Renate?
Yes?
I decided in 2024, I'm going to take lunch break in my, how do you say it, booking system. So 12 o'clock every day, all year, I'm going to take 30 minutes. And now it's been 1 month and it worked.
Wow.
It's my new life.
Does it feel good?
Yes, really good. So it's a hairdresser problem, I think.
It is.
I just have to take the time, you know.
Yes. Welcome to the Headbox. My name is Renata.
My name is Ann-Marit.
Yes, Ann-Marit. Besides having lunch breaks, what's new on your side?
I made another decision, and it's having a student every Friday.
Wow.
So she goes to school for the rest of the week. So it feels really good to helping the younger generation. I really want to do that. So that's
nice.
She starts on Friday already. So that's good.
That's very good.
How about you?
Oh, I'm sitting in my home and I'm so excited for the nomination to Audis Frisør and the team photos because our photos were so great. And the nomination is tomorrow. Then we get to know it. So it hurts in my stomach and I don't think I'm going to sleep that much tonight.
Oh my God.
So that's my life now.
I'm crossing my fingers and toes.
Thank
that
you.
Go well your way. You all the way. You. Yeah.
Yeah. But we are not here alone today. No. And today's guest works for major fashion houses and is a master in haircutting. He's also the founder of Hair in Motion Education. And his goal is to train the young generation of hairdressing in cutting techniques. Welcome to us. Charles Gray.
How did your hairdressing career start?
So I started my hairdressing career for a company called Hob Salons, which is spelled H-O-B. It's a London company, very similar to like a Tony and Guy or a Sassoon. I think they have about 25 salons in and around London. They're very much focused on precision-based haircutting, very artistic, very creative. You know, they win a lot of awards and they're very well known around the world, to be honest. I was very fortunate enough to start with them doing an apprenticeship in women's and men's hair. And it's quite funny because before I got into hair, I was the age of 19 and I didn't really know what I wanted to do in life. You know, I was a little bit lost. I was going out a lot, having fun, partying, kind of what boys do at that age, I guess. And a few people said to me, you know, you should get into hair. And at the time I was like, no, like, I don't know anything about hair. You know, I didn't know any friends or anyone who were in that industry. So it was a very alien thing to me. And I decided to drop out of college where I was playing football at the time and apply at a couple of local salons. I went for a couple of interviews, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. And one of them actually said that I was too old, so they didn't want to take me on as an apprentice. which was like, that's so strange. I feel so young still, you know, 19 is like pretty young. No, maybe I was even 18 at that point, I think. And one of the other salons that I applied at was Hob Salons. They had one of the salons just outside of on the outskirts of North London. And they really liked me. They took me on, and without knowing, it was most certainly the right place for me and the right place for me to start my career, because the people that I learned off and the educators that taught me, I was very fortunate to learn from some of the best people in the industry. And from day one, I was very heavily inspired by the people around me and where I was training in Camden. I don't know if you've ever been into Camden before in London. It's a very quirky area and place in North London. There's lots of very strange and cool and wonderful and wild people walking around. It's very well known for its, you know, culture and music industry. And there's lots of punks there and rock and roll. And there's lots of tourists there as well. It's just a crazy place, a really, really crazy place. And I did my training there, and I was on the streets, you know, pulling people in to come and cut their hair as models every day. And I learned a lot of different skill sets there. Even like learning how to approach people and talk to people, you know, on the street and things like that, which I really do think serve a good purpose in your life and in your personality as you progress. So that's where I started. I did that for I trained for about 2.5 years, and I was getting into competitions and things like that from a very early stage, because I was surrounded by that creativity. And when I get my head set on something, I'm going to do it to its best ability and try and be the best, or I won't do it at all. So, you know, I was quickly finding myself in positions where I was winning awards and competitions and being seen by other companies like GHD and drafted into their young artistic team. And I started within my first 2 years of even being an assistant to do like big shows and seminars and assisting people and getting involved in fashion weeks and backstage and loads of things like this, you know. So I was just opened up, like my eyes were opened up to the bigger part of the industry when I really should have just been learning how to cut hair behind the chair at that moment in time. So again, I like to chuck myself in the deep end, and I think it served a big purpose in where I am today, by challenging myself from a very early stage in my career. But that was kind of the start of my career and where I first started cutting hair, for sure.
And before you started on Hubs, you had never been to a hairdresser school or anything?
No, never been. Even in a salon or a barbershop, I never used to go into, because we had a friend who used to cut hair, a girl, and she used to do freelance and go to people's houses and cut hair. So she just used to cut my hair at my house. And I'd never really had the experience of going into a shop before of, you know, and like really understood what it was.
So you're a natural talent then?
Maybe I fell into the right industry. I don't know. But I was always interested in like hair and fashion growing up as a teenager, you know. I'm very, very interested in like how I dress and putting clothes together. And I was thought I was quite good at that. And I think I've always had a creative eye, but to like land in hair and then be quite natural at that was just maybe a coincidence. I don't know.
The competitions, what did you compete in?
So they were photographic competitions. They were in-house. They were linked with Weller. So it was like Weller and Hobb photographic competitions. This was even when I was an assistant. So I was entering the assistant ones. In my first year of cutting hair, I was getting a model in, entering the competitions, having the editorial shoot done, and then getting a small mini collection and stuff. And I was just like, wow, this is so fun. This is so cool, you know? And I just really like got a grasp for like the creative side of hair from a very early stage, like I said. So yeah, that was one of the first competitions that I ever entered.
You still compete, right?
No, I haven't done for many years. When I went more into the men's side of the industry a couple of years after, I entered a couple of competitions and won Barber of the Year for a big thing in the UK and things like that. But to be honest with you, for the last 5 or 6 years, it's not been something that's been on my agenda. I've been very much focused on education and building myself up as a teacher and giving back to people rather than doing something for myself. But this year that is going to change. I am actually entering quite a big competition, but I can't announce what one that is right now because it's kind of it's kind of a secret right now. And I can't let that out. I can't let the cat out of the bag right now. So
you've been missing the competition.
I'm just a competitive person, I guess, and I miss competing as a whole. Yeah, I'm always in competition. You know, my education company is in competition with other education companies, and we want to be seen by other people. And, you know, that is always a competition every single day. My online academy is a competition with other online academies. So I always feel like I'm in competition with in business, but like this side of competition that I'm getting involved in now, which is slightly more important than what I did when I was an assistant, is more for challenging myself rather than competing against other people. I feel like I've been educating for over 10 years now. I've built my company, my personal company has now been going for 4 years here in Motion. And we're in a very good place. We've expanded massively this year, which I'm sure we'll talk about through this episode. But I feel like I'm still missing something where I'm like, that's cool. I'm doing this, and this, and building this team. But what am I doing to challenge myself on a personal level within hair? And I feel like that's been missing for quite a few years now. So that's why I'm just entering this new thing as like Charlie Gray, you know, entering.
What's Hair in Motion? Can you explain what it is?
Yeah, I can. Technically, it's a hair education company. The meaning of Hair in Motion is very simple, but also it's very in-depth at the same time. So Hair in Motion, pretty much what it means is a conscious movement within hair that is constantly moving and progressing forward. Okay, so it's like hair in motion. So it's moving. Because the way that I see the industry is that, you know, if I look at it today and I look at it last year, it's in a different place, right? And if you were last year and you looked at it the year before, it was in a different place. So the industry, styles, trends, fashion, haircuts, the way that we do things, products, they're always evolving and always changing and always adapting to the world around us, right? So that is kind of like Hair in Motion as a company doesn't just encompass one thing, it encompasses the whole thing. So although we are an education company, we also do lots of other things as well. Like we get involved in editorial and session work. We do seminars and shows. We have a product range. Like we have so many different like branches off of the tree that we have. And we're always looking to evolve and progress ourselves as a team and as a brand. Even the way that we do things and the way that we teach, you know, it's never like, this is Hair in Motion, this is what it is. And in 10 years time, it's still going to be the same thing. You know, it's evolving every single year and it's becoming something beautiful. And I think that's just the person that I am. I'm very open-minded and I like to be very flexible. And I want my brand to represent the same things as that as well.
Because I saw you in the show in Norway last year at the Veda.
Yeah,
that was really good. And inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was really good fun. Really, really good fun. I really enjoyed that show. I was lucky enough to get invited by Aveda to come and do the men's side of the show. And I had never been to Norway before, so that was a new thing for me as well. That was great.
What did you think about Norway? It was your first time.
Yeah, no, I thought it was amazing. Everyone that I met was very, very friendly. I've been to Sweden, which is kind of like the closest place to you guys, I guess. But yeah, the first time in Norway, and I loved it. I loved every part of it. I thought people were great. The city Oslo is obviously fantastic as well. And since that, I've been invited back once or twice for Aveda as well to do some private seminars for their salons and things like that. So I'm actually coming out there next month as well.
What are you going to do then?
Again, another seminar for Aveda. So since that show, I've been working quite closely with them in the Nordics, which has been a really great partnership. So that's been really great. And also I'll be doing some workshops as well. So seminar and workshops. Yeah.
Do you train the Norwegian team in racer cuts?
I haven't trained the Aveda Norwegian team.
Yeah.
I haven't specifically trained. Well, a lot of their team have come to my seminars. I know that they have a lot of educators that work for different brands in Oslo, which I've met a lot of them educators, but I haven't done like hands-on training with their educators as of such, but they come to my seminars every time I come to Oslo. So they've learned, I guess, some stuff from me, but yeah. I haven't worked on that like close one-to-one stuff with them yet.
Okay, because I've been thinking that since you've been here, it's more to the hair in motion from the skin fading. So it's more yeah. razor cuts than just sharp skin fades. After you've been in Norway, of course.
Well, I think that's generally the way that the industry has been moving anyway. You know, if we look at worldwide, what's happening in trends and lengths of hair and how it's cut, everything's much softer and much more razored and things like that, you know. So companies like myself and what I'm doing, you know, for the last few years, we've really been pushing that type of hair styling and dressing within men's specifically. And now we're seeing that on a global level. But obviously, if I'm coming to do seminars in countries and there's lots of people watching, then that's hopefully going to push it even more quicker, right?
Yeah.
The idea of hair emulsion, how did that came alive?
As in the company and what it stands for, or the name specifically?
To get into the education part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so I was teaching for around 6 years with my previous company, which was the company that I left Hob, my original company, for. And when I joined that new company, which is a men's education company called Menspire, it's quite a big thing now. We set up our own education through that. And that's where I started to learn how to teach. And that's where I began to travel the world and built up a very good social media following. And I actually became a full-time educator whilst I was at my previous company for the last 3 years I was there. So it was something that I was progressively working towards. It's something that I knew I wanted to do. It was something where I found my path and my vision in the industry is something that I love to do. And when I felt like it was time for me to go and do my own thing and spread my wings and kind of have my own vision, you know, it was never a doubt in my mind that it was always going to be an education company that I was going to do. I've never wanted to open my own salon. I've never wanted to kind of go down that route personally. My passion and what I love to do is in teaching. So when I left my previous company, I was like, I'm going to have an education company, and that's what I'm solely going to do. I'm not going to cut hair on the side. I'm not going to work in a shop. I don't want to. I'm just going to make this work, and I'm going to make this happen. And I have, you know, like I said, like when I want to do something, like I will get it done. And, you know, if we go deeper into that conversation, it was actually at a crazy time that I launched the company. It was actually March 2020. Which was quite an unfortunate time, right, in the world. As we all know, what happened for every business and every salon. I had just left my company. I was all excited. I've just launched my new brand. I had 6 months of education, traveling, and work booked in. I was like, this is easy. This is the easiest transition I've ever had from here to here. You know, this is going to be easy for me. And obviously, then everything got cancelled and got shut down. All my travel got stopped. So I was in a position where I've just launched my brand. I've just left my company. So I didn't have any money coming in technically. I also had my first baby on the way as well in 2 months' time. So I was a bit like, damn, like what am I gonna do? Yeah, you know, there's people that were in much worse positions than that. But again, I didn't think like this isn't gonna work. I had a vision and I was going to do whatever I could to make it happen. And I had just got my first lease on a studio space when I was living in London at this point. So I had like a creative photographic studio that I was going to do education and shoots and things like that in. And I always had the vision of doing online education. Even for my previous company, I was trying to push it because I had a vision. This is like 4 or 5 years ago where I was like, online education is going to be a big thing. This was before like anyone had done it. You know, I was thinking this, I was like, I think it's going to be really important to do this. It never materialized at my old company. I think it was too soon, but as soon as I launched my company and I couldn't really work in person, I was like, this is the time to build this online platform. I locked myself in my studio and just spent weeks and weeks and weeks filming, haircutting tutorials on mannequin heads, obviously at this moment in time. And I learned how to video myself cut-ins, all the lighting setups, the editing, I built the website, the platform, like I literally put everything together from scratch, like one person, like learning all these new skills. So rather than a time of like sitting back and relaxing, it was a time for growth and building something that was going to be amazing. And in June 2020 is when I actually launched the online academy, which I look back now and, you know, what it was to what it is now is like a completely different thing, you know, because we're 3 years later down the line, I've paid professionals to build a new platform for me and we've got our own app and, you know, it's like a whole different beast, right? But when I look back at it, what I achieved and what I did on my own, I'm super proud of what I went through to get what I did. Even though when I look back now, it looks rubbish compared to what I've got.
You have to start.
How many countries are watching you cut here?
Which is
quite big right now, right?
Yeah, I would probably say we're like around like the 70 or 80 kind of country mark, which is, yeah, quite a lot.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Really fantastic.
Yeah.
What is your goal? Do you have any goals?
For the online academy?
Yeah.
I just want to make it, it's actually in alignment with what I want to do in person as well, to be honest. It's, I see the online academy as an extension of my education in person, right? I want to create the best hair education company in the world, you know, so that means in person and also online, so the best online academy in the world. So like there is no limit apart from being the best. And I know that sounds crazy to some people, you know, like I've got to be better than like Tony and Guy education and Sassoon and I, you know, but like I believe what we're doing as Hair and Motion is different to what they're doing. It's not that I'm trying to do what they're doing and be better than them. It's I've created a brand and a way of teaching and a way of what, like, you know, like the overall look of what we do, which is different to what all they're doing. So like, for example, people in my team, I have ex Sassoon educators, I have ex Tony and Guy artistic team members, ex Hob. I have all these like people who have worked in the highest levels of the highest brands have now come together in this like melting pot of something that we don't tell you what to do. We let you express yourself and we teach together and do things together and learn from one another. So it's a very different way of doing things in the industry that many other companies don't do, you know? So I think it's quite special.
What's the best thing about educating other people?
I think it's the growth that you can see happen in certain people. So I've taught very experienced people before who have, you know, very good reputation in the industry. They have tons of followers. They're very like, they're like famous in their own countries, but they've been taught by myself and other people many years ago. And if it wasn't for those courses that we've taught them, I know that they wouldn't be in the position that they're in today. And I say that in a humble way, but when I've seen that I've made a big impact on like some of the biggest and the best people in the industry from an early stage in their career and taught them really good skills, it makes me think that I'm not only better in those people, but I'm better in all those people that are then learning from them as well. So it's just like a domino effect of like, it's not just the students. It's not just the students that you're teaching. It's the students that your students are teaching. And then all that information that gets passed down for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, however many years down the line, like you're going to have that impact and that ripple effect from what you're doing as a passion. And that's a very beautiful thing.
So you coach people in the right directions in hair, sort of?
In all sorts of things, yeah. Like over the years, I've done lots of things like mentorship courses, you know, focusing on like building yourself up as an educator, looking at more like the business side of things, branding, but mainly hair is my expertise, yeah, for sure. Mm.
That sounds nice.
The younger generation, can you see they are more online than physical? Or not?
I don't know. I personally, myself, I wouldn't say that is that is the case for me. I think the older generation or the people who've been in industry longer than, let's say, beginners are just as inclined to do online education the same as young people as well. Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a funny story to tell us about your career?
A funny story, did you say?
Yeah.
yeah, I've had some very interesting stories, I guess. I've been to some strange places in my time, which has been wonderful as well at the same time. But one of my funny stories, strange stories, I guess, is I had a really crazy week where I crammed lots into this week, which is like, when I look back at it now, it's like I would never, ever, ever dream of trying to fit this amount of work into 1 week. And it wasn't just work, it was personal as well. So it leads into the story of what was a strange part of the story. But I'll tell you the full thing, because it's kind of strange, and I'll speed it up a little bit. So there's this week where have you heard of Salon International before, the big trade show in the UK? Yes. Right, so it was over that week where it's probably one of the busiest weeks in the hair industry, where there's lots of events. There's obviously Salon International, but there's loads of other shows and events and education through the whole week leading up to it. So it's a great time as a hairstylist to be in London in the UK and go to lots of different things. And we had one or two courses at the start of the week in the academy where I was working Monday, Tuesday. Then we got invited to go and do some a show in central London for a company called Alilon Education, which is an amazing, well-established education company in London. And we did that one of the nights before Salon International. Then the next morning, we did 2 full days of Salon International, which I don't know if you've ever done trade shows before. When you're there from like 9 till 5 and you're talking to hundreds of people and you're on stage and it's just like a very mentally draining day. So we then did 2 days of that. So that was like 4 days into the week. Then the Sunday after Salon International, I decided to book myself on to do a half marathon, which I didn't actually get much time to train for because of my work schedule. So to say I found it hard was, you know, was I was stupid for not putting enough training into that, because I completed it anyway, which is the main thing. But that afternoon of after the half marathon, I then had a flight to South Korea, which is like I think it was like a 12-hour flight or something like that, direct flight from London. So the morning I ran a half marathon after this week. Then in the afternoon, because I didn't train for it correctly or even probably warm down properly, I then got on a 12-hour flight that afternoon to South Korea. All my legs and my hips seized up on the plane. Yeah, like fully seized up, like really painful. And when we landed in South Korea, we went straight to the academy, this big academy out there called Juno Academy, which is a very well famous academy in South Korea. And we got taken straight to the academy. I couldn't walk. I was like hobbling around this academy. And we had to do a model. We had to pick some models for the next day, because the next day we had a show in front of 3,000 people, which is the biggest show that I've ever done before as well. So my first time in South Korea, show in front of 3,000 people. I couldn't walk properly because I just ran this half marathon and I was all seized up. And we prepped all morning on 12 models, me and this other guy. And in the afternoon, we went into the show, 3,000 people, managed to kind of like pull through it. And then the next day we did another workshop. So this is like 7 days in out of work and a half marathon and a flight to South Korea. I was absolutely exhausted, still couldn't walk properly. And then after the workshop, I was so happy. I was so tired. I was just mentally, physically exhausted by this point. And they took us out for this, this meal. And it was a, you know, it was South Korean food. So me and my friend were like, wow, this is going to be lovely. It's going to be an amazing feast. Can't wait to round up this trip, you know, and all this work that we've just done with this great feast with these people. And it was the most strangest food I have ever seen in my life that was coming out on these platters. There were these platters. We were in this private room in this restaurant. They were bringing the trolley and this strange food in. It looked like cold, wet, like octopus, and like it didn't look cooked. It was like, and they were like, in their culture, if you don't eat the food they put in front of you, they see it as being very rude. Like some other cultures in the world. So we felt inclined that we had to try and eat some of this food. And we were so hungry as well. And we were like looking at each other, like trying not to laugh and pretending to eat, and then kind of like pushing the plate across the table, like away from us without anyone noticing. And then we were just trying to eat the random scraps of all these bits of food that we were getting offered. And it was the funniest and strangest thing that's ever happened to me.
Did you anyway. Take some days off after that?
I'd like to think I did,
So do you have a typical 5 days a week, or how much work do you do?
It really varies, to be honest with you. Funnily enough, I actually spend less time cutting hair now than I ever have done in my life, because I'm running the business and mentoring my education teams and doing admin work and meetings and podcasts and all that sort of stuff now. So, you know, I cut hair less than I ever have done, which is quite funny. But when I do cut hair now, I really, really love it. But my weeks can be really flexible. So tomorrow, for example, let's take this week, for example, I'm doing some one-to-one education with a student tomorrow. Then on Tuesday, I've just got a day full of meetings and things like that. Wednesday, I'm then training one of my educators up and doing some filming work for the online academy. Thursday, I'm doing some more online filming for the academy. And then I'm going to take Friday and Saturday off. And then I've got a seminar again on Monday. So it ranges from like education to seminar work to online academy filming to admin days and editing and things like that. Like every day is kind of different and every week is varied to vary. I've limited my traveling this year, which I'm really excited about, to one trip a month, which is a blessing in disguise, which I know for a lot of people, that's probably still quite a lot of traveling. But for me, that I've been traveling for the last 10 years, and to put it the least, you know, some months I was doing 2 to 3 countries a month, you know, and 3 or 4 days at a time. So I was barely in the UK. So now I've got myself to a point where I can do one trip a month and I can limit it to that. And I'm not doing any more than that, which is amazing.
Do you still put on your running shoes and run, or have you quit running because of so?
Do you know what? I actually went for my first run today in a long time, which is really strange that you asked that question. Yeah. I wanted to do 5K under 30 minutes and I managed it. And I haven't done a run in like a year and a half. So it was pretty good.
Who is your hair hero?
When I looked at that question on the list that you gave me prior to the podcast, it's a difficult question because I know it sounds strange, but I don't actually have one. But to touch on that, there are lots of people who I have looked up to and who inspire me, who do amazing things in the industry and who I've learned things from. You know, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh no, no one inspires me. No one, I haven't learned from anyone. I'm all self-made. Like, you know, that's a load of rubbish, you know, like, but as like a one person hair hero who, I don't know, I've just never really had one. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there are lots of people, like I said, friends in the industry that I know very well who are unbelievable at what they do. And I talk about them a lot in my seminars and say, you need to go and look at what this person's doing. You know, I'm a very like friendly, open book like that. So yeah, I could list lots of people that are inspire me and do amazing work, but as a hair hero, I can't say I've got one, to be honest with you, which is, just the way that it is.
Yeah.
I think that was a great answer.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was going to disappoint you or not. I didn't know whether to just like lie, no. like lie and make someone up or something. Yeah.
We have 10 questions for you. 10 questions, fast questions for you. Are you ready for that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Color or cut?
Cut.
Favorite product?
It's got to be the Leaf Charles Grey Signature Styling Range Cream.
This one should be easy, long or short hair?
Do you want me to just answer one word? Yeah, is it just one word? Or can I elaborate on the answer?
Yeah, you can do that, yeah.
Okay, not too long. I know you want it just quick fire, so I understand that. But for such a long time, it's been long hair, like such a long time. But I feel like now it's gravitating more towards short hair because the trends and things are changing. So.
Okay.
It's not a simple answer because normally, if you would ask me that last year, the last 10 years, I would have said long hair all day.
Yeah, but it's in emotion all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. chocolate or chips?
Chocolate.
Zara or Louis Vuitton?
Zara.
Beach holiday or city holiday?
Beach holiday.
Natural color or crazy color?
Natural.
Beer, wine, bubbles, or cocktail?
It depends, right? if I was having a meal, then I'd probably go for a beer. And if I was looking to get drunk, then cocktails.
Mm. Sassoon or Gaetan?
Sassoon.
Instagram or TikTok?
Instagram.
Thank you.
Good answers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sharps, for being a guest on our podcast. It's been so inspiring.
Thank you. It's been really great fun to talk to you both.
And follow us on social media, and we see you next week. Bye.